Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes and that podcast app on your iPhone. This week's show brought to you by Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. Got to fish up there for a couple of days. We're going to talk about how we caught walleyes and how you could get up there and catch walleyes too. Curtis Blake's going to be on the show. Lucas Mertens will be on the show here as well in just a second. Also brought to you by Mid-Migration Outfitters, offering guided duck and goose hunts in western Minnesota and, of course, spring snow goose hunts in Missouri and South Dakota as well. I guide along with Tony Crotty and some friends of ours. Go to midmigrationoutfitters.com for more details. Also brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Some big fish have been caught up on Lake of the Woods. Joe Henry's going to tell us about them. Plus, they have their annual Pay It Forward event for veterans. And Joe is in the boat with some very interesting guys, a veteran. I believe he was 102 years old. We'll find out about how that went coming up later in the show. Now, earlier this week, we did a little North Dakota cast and blast. Got over to North Dakota for the early Canada goose season and then wrapped it up with a couple of days at Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake. Had a great time, great weather, caught a pile of fish, ton of fish, brought home limits for all the guys that were up there, and got to fish with Curtis from Hay Bale Heights. He took us out for a couple of days up there. We got to stay there. And to talk more about Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort, owner Lucas Mertens joins us on the phone right now. Lucas, how are things?
Things are really good.
I know you wanted to come spend time with us in the boat, but you had work to do.
Yeah, harvest is in full swing. And I guess when you do two occupations, when you have a resort and you farm, you kind of got to do what the weather lets you do.
Right. Well, we got to see you for a little bit out there in between trips in the combine. And how is that wheat coming?
The wheat harvest is going real well. Weather is cooperating and the crop is decent, so everything is good and on the farmer's end.
Well, that's perfect. Of course, that's what we were looking for mostly out there, was wheat fields when we were chasing geese around. So you get a few of those geese landing in your fields, maybe we'll make another trip back over there up to the Devil's Lake area.
We'll definitely let you know when we see them, that's for sure.
Perfect, because that's, I'll tell you what, obviously we're going to talk fishing, but as a waterfowl guy, you hear about Devil's Lake being such a legendary place to go do some waterfowl hunting, and of course we saw Canada geese out there, but man, the ducks, and realistically everywhere we went in North Dakota, every little pond had ducks in it right now, Lucas.
Yeah, we had a good duck catch, and it seems like the numbers are way up on the ducks. It just seems like everywhere you look, like you said, there's ducks everywhere.
Yeah, it was fun to see. It's always fun to, even if you can't hunt them yet, it's just fun to see them and watch them. And of course, when we were cruising around on the lake, there were ducks swimming and flying all around us while we were out there. It's always a neat experience. And that was one thing about Devil's Lake that I noticed too, is, and this is the first time I've been able to fish it open water, fish it in the summer. And not only was the fishing, you know, incredible, but the scenery and the wildlife, and it's kind of a neat lake. You know, it's big, but it seems like every time you go there, it looks a little bit different.
Yeah, it changes, you know, month by month, whether the water comes up or whether the water goes down. You know, something that you might have been able to get into last year, like a bay or something, maybe you can't get into it this year. And that's the case this year. The water is way down. So there's a lot of places that we don't go that we could have went last year or the year before. So that changes by the day almost up here.
Lucas Mertens is our guest, Hay Bale Heights Campground and a Resort, Devil's Lake, North Dakota, here on Sporting Journal Radio. We got a little tour of the campground. I know we came up there and fished a couple of years ago in the wintertime, and it was 47 below, so we didn't really do a lot of exploring outside. We didn't travel very far from the cabin when we were up there. But you took us around the campground. It's a beautiful campground there, Lucas.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we built that place 8 years ago, and ever since then, it's just really taken off, and people have kind of made it their summer homes, and it's always a work in progress, but we we take some pride in what we do down there, that's for sure.
Well, you know, you hear the word campground and some people might think of campsites, you know, they kind of out in the woods. You might have a different interpretation of what the campground might mean at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, because when you talk about people making it their summer home, that's kind of what they did. They've got decks built off these things. They've got sheds. They literally could live there all the time.
Right. Yeah, and we've given them quite a few amenities. We have a really nice boat launch with a fish cleaning station. We have a beach and, you know, all the playground stuff that keeps the kids happy. We got a full court basketball court. We're thinking about adding mini golf next year. So we just try to, you know, give people things to do. And it seems like if you can keep the kids happy, then everybody's happy.
And it's full, right? You got a waiting list for people to get in there?
Absolutely. It's we're full and we have a list. You know, we always talk about adding on, but you know, with the uncertainty of the lake, it's hard to do that and invest a lot of money in these things since we don't have any certainty on this lake. So we just kind of take it year by year and see what Mother Nature gives us, and we do the best we can with what we got.
Well, you've got the campground, and then you've got cabins that people can stay in. And obviously, if people book a guided fishing trip, you got cabins for them. But if people want to come and do it themselves and stay there, bring their own boat, you've got cabins for them, don't you?
Yeah, that's correct. We have five of the two-bedroom, and you were in one of the two bedrooms. And then we have one three-bedroom, which is kind of just a large house, and that one will take up to 10 people. So that one's nice for the bigger groups. And I think you've been in both of them now, haven't you, Brett?
I have. That we stayed in that three-bedroom a couple of years ago when we came up there in the winter, and that was great. That was literally staying in a house. And then this time we got to stay in one of those cabins, and we didn't get inside to see those cabins last time, so I saw them from the outside. And when we walked into it, I mean, I don't want to say they don't look big, but when you walk into them, it almost looks like they double in size when you get into them. They were they're very nice. Obviously, big leather couches when you walk in, or big leather couch, a couple of big leather recliners. You got a kitchen in there, you got a washer and dryer, you got a nice bathroom, and then the two bedrooms. And I think there were seven beds between the two bedrooms, so you could stuff a lot of people in those too, very comfortably, Lucas.
Yeah, there's plenty of sleeping in those. I always tell people they're perfect for four, but they'll probably go up to seven, you know, depending on how people want to, you know, sleeping arrangements. And, you know, some people like to cram in and some people need their space. So just whatever people need, whether they need a smaller one or a bigger one, we got them both.
Lucas Mertens, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. And let's talk some fishing. And we're talking about this because we just went up there and spent a couple of days up there and got to spend the night in one of their cabins that we hadn't been in before. And then we got to go fish open water. And Lucas, we caught limits of fish both days. And, you know, we were doing some filming, so it wasn't like we were constantly fishing the entire time. And then we went searching for big fish, where your fishing can slow down a little bit, but your fish get bigger. If we would have just kept fishing all day long, I have no doubt we would have put 100 to 200 fish in our boat both days.
Yeah, that's the thing about Devil's Lake. You know, the fall bite has really come on strong here in the last couple of weeks. Midsummer, it seemed like it slowed down a little bit, which is, you know, a little off from previous years. You know, most of the time from June all the way into late fall, you can have 100 fish days pretty much all day long. And like you said, the numbers are there. And then if you want to go catch some bigger fish, that opportunity is there also.
Your guide, Curtis, by the way, was great, knew the lake very well. He spends a lot of time in that water, doesn't he?
Yep. He, during the summer, he's probably guiding almost 6-7 days a week. And during the winter, I have him going almost every day. He didn't have very many days off. And that's what it takes to kind of know the lake. You're out there every day. You can kind of tell what the fish are doing, if the patterns are changing. And, you know, that just leads to an all around better guided trip. You know, if you come up during the winter or during the summer, you know, having your guys on the water every day is crucial.
And we're going to talk to Curtis here on the show. Curtis Blake will be on the show coming up here in a little bit on Sporting Journal Radio. And kind of a side story. He grew up in northern Minnesota, and his dad was a fishing guide. And obviously, so he learned a lot about fishing from his dad. And he grew up on a lake that my family's been going to for 30 years. So we had a lot of stories to share about a lot of the same places and experiences and breakfasts and things like that. So it was a great time, and he's a great guy. And I know we talked a little bit before I got to meet him. I was like, well, is he going to be, you know, I always ask this question. We go to film somewhere. I'm like, is he going to be good on camera? And you're like, oh yeah. Yeah. He's very outgoing, very nice guy, and very easy to get along with.
Yeah. Curtis is a people person. That's for sure. I know everybody who has him in the wintertime, when you're in the snow bear, you know, you're basically in a vehicle all day long with somebody. So you have to have kind of the right personality to be able to do that. That's for sure.
Yeah. And speaking of the snow bears, now really is the time. I mean, we're here. It's basically September. Obviously, waterfowl season and hunting seasons are going to kick into high gear, but it's some of the best fishing too of the year. And then it's going to be winter. And I know I've talked about it a couple of times. We went up there a couple of years ago and fished in the winter. It was 47 below zero, and we fished in T-shirts out of one of your snow bears. Lucas, those snow bears are unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really the only way to go fishing. First of all, you're comfortable. You know, you're not cold. You're not dreading the next move. And that's what it takes to fish Devil's Lake and be successful. Our fish are moving and roaming. Even a 100-yard move could make the difference between a make-and-break day. And I'm not saying we catch our limits every day, but, boy, we go out and we'll move that snow bear, you know, 20, 30 times if we have to, you know, trying to find those fish. And you just can't do that with houses or, with, you know, even the portables. If it's windy out, I mean, it's tough to move those and make that many moves all day long and be comfortable doing it. So that's the nice thing about fishing with us is, we're going to move you, and we're going to keep moving until we find them, and we're going to be comfortable doing it.
We got to move around and chase those schools of perch, and wintertime is the time to go after those big, famous jumbo perch on Devil's Lake. But I'll tell you what, we did catch a bonus perch while we were out there in the boat this week. Out there fishing for walleyes the same way, and we picked up a really nice perch while we were out there.
Yeah, we had talked about that before. You were hoping to get one on the camera. And we said, well, it's probably a 50-50 chance whether we get one. So it was nice to get one. So you know they're down there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. I know they're scattered out a little bit more. You don't see them quite as much in the summertime, but you can still get them. And we picked up a couple of pike as well, too. Again, it was great fishing, great accommodations. We had a great time up there. And thanks. Yeah, I guess thanks for having us up there, Lucas. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we were more than glad to have you up there and get you out on the water so you could see some, you know, both ends of it, summer fishing and winter fishing.
Well, I talked to Curtis a lot about coming back up in the winter, and then I was talking to Trevor Montgomery, who of course we brought there when we came up there in the wintertime from Saskatchewan, and he was kind of sending me messages, seeing all the pictures I was putting on Facebook from Devil's Lake. He goes, "Oh, another winter trip to Devil's Lake this year," and I said, "Well, yeah." Let's go.
Yeah, we'd be more than happy to have those guys down again. We love our Canadian friends, that's for sure.
Sure, absolutely. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, people want to get up there yet this summer, get on the open water, or maybe make a fall trip or start planning for winter. You got some openings for them, Lucas?
Yeah, we can always fit people in. They can call us direct, 701-351-3130. Or they can go to our webpage, haybaleheights.com, and just see what's going on from day to day.
Haybaleheights.com. Lucas Mertens, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Thanks for the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman. And if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit midmigrationoutfitters.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination? Nation where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Show. Don't forget to find us online at sportingjournalradio.com. This week's show brought to you by Mid-Migration Outfitters, also Lake of the Woods Tourism, and of course, Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. This show heard on 28 stations across the upper Midwest, Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, and even into Iowa and South Dakota a little bit as well. Listen on your iPhone too with the podcast app. And I hook it up through Bluetooth and listen to it in my truck when I'm driving around or wherever. We try to make this show real simple to listen to. We spent a couple of times up at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. Just got done talking to owner Lucas Mertens up there. And while we were up there, we got to jump in the boat with Curtis Blake, one of the guides at Haybale. And Curtis joins us now here on the radio show. Curtis, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. Thanks for showing us around Devil's Lake last week.
That was my pleasure. We had a good time, didn't we?
Had a great time. Two limits of walleyes. We had three guys in the boat with us, and we caught a three-man limit both days. So we've been eating fresh fish all week long, and you know, had a great time. You never know when you jump in the boat with somebody. You just never know how it's going to go. Most of the time, they're all pretty good guides that you end up with, or you know, you meet some pretty cool people when you do things like this. But you never really know. And I'll tell you what, man, we had a great time with you out there.
Well, I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. You know, like I said, I had a good time too. And like you said, there's nothing better than fresh fish.
Absolutely. And part of it may be the fact that I've been going to a lake in northern Minnesota for 30 years, and you grew up guiding on that lake. And I want to talk about that. So we had stories to share about spots on a lake up at the end of the Gunflint Trail that we both know about that most of the people listening probably have no idea what we're talking about. So we'll get into that later in the show, but I want to start off talking about Devil's Lake. And I'll tell you what, this time of year, you get into August, you get into some of those dog days, the hot summer days, and you don't always think about it being the best time to walleye fish. But man, we had no problem catching walleyes up there in Devil's Lake, man.
Yeah, no, that's one of the beauties of Devil's Lake and one of the reasons I really relocated out here because of those slow times you talk about, how hard it is to actually get on fish certain times of the year in other lakes. Devil's Lake is a great lake because of what it is. Great numbers, a lot of fish that are active even in the middle of the day. You can pick any time and hit some of these schools of fish that are they're just constantly feeding out there. And on Devils especially, it just never seems to stop, even in the slow times, that August, early September. I mean, it's a great bite.
Where do you think the fish are right now as far as like year classes go? Because there's definitely an abundance of smaller fish, which always bodes well for the future, it seems. And man, just tons of fish in that good, healthy eater size at 15 to 18 inch range. We just had no problem catching fish like that. It seems like there's a good, healthy abundance of fish.
There really is. A lot of this would be, you know, personal opinion, but I talked to a lot of other guides out here, a lot of boaters, a lot of people that are on the water, and a lot of us share kind of the same ideals when it comes to where those big fish go, why there's so many little fish. We have a lake that reproduces just great naturally. I mean, we don't do much for stocking out here in Devil's Lake, but the year classes that come up, the reason we see so many of those smaller fish is because they're out there cruising these flats and these shallower parts of Devil's Lake when they're younger fish up to that 18, 19, 20 inch range. And, you know, most people's ideas of where the big fish go and why they're harder to catch, usually they want to go to deeper water. They're more solo. They're not schooled up as much. And so you can take the time and go out there looking for nothing but big fish, but you just don't seem to come up with the bites. like when you are fishing the schools of the smaller fish.
Yeah, and you can find them. There are some big fish. In fact, you were telling me about a tournament there recently where somebody coming, a young kid fishing the lake, probably for the first time, I suppose. What was he, from Pennsylvania or something?
Yeah, Pennsylvania. A 20-year-old kid won the professional NWT walleye tournament they had out here in Devil's Lake just under a month ago. And it was his first time ever fishing on the lake. And he got a program put together trolling deep water crankbaits out in the deepest water he could find out on a different end of the lake than we were fishing on. He did not catch the most fish, but the ones that he got the right bites. I believe the second day he was done by noon, you know, with 3 hours left to fish, and he didn't even have to fish those 3 hours. He was ready to weigh his fish. He was confident because of the size that he had. He knew that he had a good bag.
Curtis Blake, our guest, Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake here on Sporting Journal Radio, talking about the bite on Devil's Lake right now. We spent a couple of days up there last week, Monday and Tuesday, fishing with Curtis. And when we went out to the first spot, you said this is we may not see much for big fish here, but we're definitely going to find numbers here. And I always, it's the first time I'd open water fish Devil's Lake, and I always picture, you know, these guys fishing, tying their boats up to dead trees sticking out of the water, or fishing barns and old roads and things like that. And where we went, there was no structure.
Yeah, it's come to a change. Devil's Lake changes every single year, it seems like. Those trees you're talking about tying up to, even 7-8 years ago when I first started fishing out here, that's the way we fish. Tying up to trees, fishing old roads. As these water levels have dropped every single year since 2011, we've been losing water, and it seems that those fish kind of congregate in different areas accordingly as well. And so right now this year, this is the first year that we've seen the majority of fish we're catching are more in the flats areas off of the structure, and they're actually feeding on straight bloodworms. I mean, just nonstop. We're not seeing a lot of shrimp getting eaten by these fish we're targeting. It's mostly mud fish.
And well, I want to talk about how we fished for them, what we did, and it seemed to work. We kind of fished mostly the same way the entire time, both days. We did change it up a couple of times, tried some different colors, things like that, different speeds.
Yep.
But well, I want to talk about how we were catching the fish, and we'll talk about why you went to Devil's Lake from where you grew up, because where you grew up is a pretty special place too. And I want to talk about fishing up at the end of the Gunflint Trail a little bit. It's Curtis Blake. He's a guide at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. More with Curtis on the way. We're also going to keep talking fishing. We got Joe Henry too. They just had their Pay It Forward Veterans event up in Bidette up there at Lake of the Woods, and some pretty neat stories coming out. Joe, I believe Joe is in the boat with a 102-year-old veteran, which is just unbelievable. Yeah, blows me away. He had some neat stories, so we'll find out more about that. It's all on the way here on the Midwest Radio Home for the Outdoors. This is Sporting Journal Radio.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Haybale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Haybale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Haybale Heights on Facebook or visit HaybaleHeights.com. That's HaybaleHeights.com.
Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman, and if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bidette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the northwest angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
This is the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for listening across the Sporting Journal Radio Network or on your phone or computer at sportingjournalradio.com, and even by subscribing to the podcast, get it delivered right to your phone or your personal listening device, whatever you prefer. Curtis Blake is our guest. He's a guide at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. We spent a couple of days up there, you know, fishing Monday and Tuesday. Could not keep the walleyes off the end of our line. And we went searching for big fish. And as you said, I mean, when you go after the big fish, you fish in some different areas. You're not going to find the numbers there necessarily, but the fish might be a little bit bigger. So fishing gets a little bit slower. So we spent a lot of time searching for big fish. It was really calm and hot and sunny and maybe not the best conditions for finding big fish. But boy, when we went places where the smaller fish are congregated, it seems like it was like every 5 minutes. Yeah, some of them might have been too small to keep. We even threw back some that were, you know, that 19, 20 inch range, which was just maybe a little bit larger than we wanted to keep for eaters. We caught a couple of those that we put back, but we brought home two limits of walleyes for three guys. And we should mention that there on Devil's Lake in North Dakota, you can keep 2 days worth of fish, right?
Yes, that's right. It's actually one of the reasons a lot of people like coming out here from all over the Midwest. More fish able to take home per fisherman than most other places, with no slot and a double possession limit.
And I'll tell you what, it's so much fun to catch trophy fish, but I'll tell you what, I love eating walleye. And when there. I can bring home two limits of fish, man, that's great. And that's what we got to do up there.
Yeah, you're talking to, that's a lot of fishermen are like that nowadays. I mean, the action can sometimes outweigh, you know, the want to go for that one big one. And when you get action like we do here on Devil's Lake, like I said, it draws a crowd.
But and I'll tell you what, you know, you could catch a big one at any time. There are big ones in there. And I wanted to see a bonus perch. You don't see a lot of perch in the summertime, but we got one while we were out there.
Yep, we sure did, didn't we? A nice one, too.
Absolutely. So Curtis Blake, our guest, he took us out on Devil's Lake. And let's talk about what we did. You headed out, like I said earlier, we didn't go for structure. We went out onto a flat where they were feeding on bloodworms, and we pulled spinners.
Yep, we were running 2 ounce bottom bouncers. And a lot of people think that that's too heavy. A lot of times, you know, especially people from out of state, they understand the spinners and the bottom bouncer game, but they'll run a 1, 1.5 inch bouncer maybe. We run a little bit heavy bouncer because it assures that you're getting as straight up and down as possible with your lines and keeping that spinner right down in the strike zone. And when these fish are eating the bloodworms like they are, you know, their noses are down to the ground. They are not running around suspended. They're not chasing upwards very much. They want that bait right where they want that bait. So everybody had the 2 ounce bouncer. We did play with some different colors. Of course, your golds, you know, are good. Your greens, you know, anything darker. It seemed like the brighter colors are not in as effective right now, and that's because of what the bloodworms look like.
Sure, and you brought up being vertical with that line. And when we talked about having four guys fishing out of the boat and pulling spinners, I was like, okay, how is this going to work? Four guys trolling. You know, yep. No planer boards, nothing like that. Just four guys straight off, two on each side. I was like, this is gonna be a nightmare at times. But when you have that heavier weight, you keep your line straight down almost like that. It kind of also keeps you from getting tangled up with the guy next to you.
Yeah, it does. I mean, like you said, four people in the boat, two on each side, even with a 20-foot boat. You know, your lines tend to get a little bit closer together there. And when you're running, you know, spinners and bottom bouncers, at the speeds that we're going, yeah, a lot of times you get guys get tangled up, bottom bouncers get twisted, you're fighting a fish, the other fish might get tangled in the lines, but those 2 ounce bouncers really help get rid of most of that accidental stuff.
Curtis Blake, our guest, Haybale Heights Campground Resort, Sporting Journal Radio, talking Devil's Lake. Now, how late will you guide open water fishing up there?
I will go as long as I get people that want to go out in the boat. We don't like to stop, obviously, you know, with our seasons never ending, there's never a closure out here. What usually stops us from going is the cold weather. Last year I fished up until Halloween, the day before Halloween, October 30th, I had clients in the boat and had a couple calls for clients in November, but with the wind and the cold, it does get a little tougher that time of year.
Now, how often are those guys duck hunting in the morning and then wanting to walleye fish in the afternoon or vice versa?
You know, at least 75% of the time, you're getting duck hunters. That time of year with the flyway we have, you know, we haven't even talked duck hunting, but oh my gosh, you know, that's a huge yeah. thing out here. And the duck hunters come out most of the time are done by 10, 11, 12 o'clock at the latest. Nothing to do until they go scouting again the next evening for their birds. So they want to get out on that water. And obviously, when we get the wind that time of year in the fall, it's kind of hard to take, you know, smaller rigs out there, so they don't pull their boats from home or anything, and they'll get a hold of a guide through through Haybell or one of the other area bait shops, you know, somebody they know is still out on the water on top of fish.
Well, we went, that's, you know, we kind of called it a cast and blast trip over there. We went chasing early Canada geese and had some success. It seemed like we were a little bit early. And I'll tell you what, that one day we hunted, it was 90 degrees laying in the layouts out there. And could not wait to wrap up and go fishing instead, because it even was a little hot for fishing. But and then we woke up the next day and it was, I think, 48 degrees when we got up the next day. So it was a welcome change. And the change in seasons are here. Fishing has got to just get better throughout the fall up there, right?
Yeah, as this water temperature gets colder and colder, what we'll see is we'll see a little transition in where these fish are hitting, and a lot of that has to do with what they're feeding on. You know, like the bloodworm, the hatches will kind of completely die off. These fish will probably start moving into some deeper water, ravines, a little bit more rocky, chasing the small bait fish, the smaller perch, walleye, fingerlings, the mud minnows. And we will definitely see a tendency towards deeper water as this year goes on. That's where we get more into the vertical jigging as well. The vertical jigging out here in the fall is probably your best option at fishing.
Well, I'm excited to try that. I want to try to maybe get back up there. We've talked about doing some waterfowl hunting this fall in North Dakota. And, of course, we talk about doing it in Saskatchewan, and we guide in Minnesota. So yeah, there's never enough time this time of year. And it's so hard to put down the shotgun and pick up the fishing rod when, you know, you wait all year for the hunting seasons to come around, whether it's pheasants or grouse or of course, ducks and geese, too. So
there's always too much to do.
Right. It's a good problem to have, I guess.
Bad problem.
Right. Sure. But I'll tell you what, you know, we're going to be, we'll start guiding in the spring for snows in early February, but I want to try to get back up there this winter and do some fishing out of the snow bears. Cause we don't have to get into snow bears very much cause we're kind of running out of time here, but holy cow, what a game changer those things are.
Oh yeah. Just to make it short and sweet, snow bear is the most comfortable, efficient way to catch fish on the hard water.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah, and when you need to be mobile chasing those schools of perch around, I mean, it doesn't get much better.
Nope, there's no setup, there's no takedown. All you do is start up the vehicle and drive to the next spot.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's really, really efficient.
All right, we got about 2.5 minutes left here, which is not nearly enough time to talk about what I want to talk about. So maybe we'll probably have to have you on again to do it. But man, when we got in the boat, I don't know how it came up. Oh, you said, I asked you where you were from. And you said, well, northern Minnesota, my dad has a resort up there, a guide service. And I was like, oh, what's that? He's like, well, Seagull Creek Outfitters, you know, have you heard of it? Like, shut the front door. Get out of here.
I asked you the name of a guy. Yeah, I've heard of that guy. That's my dad.
Yeah, yeah, Mike Berg. That's crazy because, I mean, we've been going to SAG on the end of the Gunflint Trail for 30 years. It's been an annual family trip for us, and we started throwing out names like Gordy Pearl and just, I mean, the stories, and of course, the Powells and the Manzos and just all the people up there. What a cool place the end of the Gunflint Trail, the whole Gunflint Trail is for that matter.
Yeah, you talk about how some of the listeners might not be too familiar with the area, but I bet you there's more than you think that have heard of the Gunflint Trail, the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. Beautiful area, full of stories, full of history, and it is just, you know, it's God's country. It's beautiful up there. It's remote. It's amazing.
Well, there's no question. There's a lot of people that know about the Gunflint and even SAG for that matter. But what I was referring to is when we start talking about some of the little reefs and you know, the little islands, yeah, and some spots. some of the little spots that that maybe, yep, not everybody knows about. But I bet a lot of people that have been going up there a lot of times, you could say, well, you know that reef that's right over there? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, it is wonderful up there. And just talking, you know, having that, you know, in both of our backgrounds, you know, made that so much fun just to talk about. You know, it's been a while since I've been up there. Obviously, I'm in Devil's Lake, North Dakota now. I miss the country, northern Minnesota. But, you know, just being a guide, you know, having the year-round fishing, no seasons, you know, that played a huge role in my move out here, obviously.
Well, that's definitely a testament to what the kind of fishery Devil's Lake is. If you're going to leave an area like SAG and the Gunflint Trail and that area to go over there and make yourself a home, make yourself at home there and set up a guide, you know, and be a guide there. So they're both special places, of course. And then, you know, every year we stop at Trail Center on the way out and have breakfast. You're like, oh, yeah, I used to work there.
I mean, yep.
My
God. Made those malts, made those Joe's pancakes.
Yeah, man, such cool areas, both of them. So much history and so much landscape and scenery and things. And I could talk about it all day, but we got to wrap things up. Curtis Blake, Haybale Heights Campground Resort on Devil's Lake. I appreciate taking us out, and I appreciate the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
No, you're very welcome, Brett. I, like I said, it was a very fun trip for me as well, and fun talking with you.
See some pictures at sportingjournalradio.com and, of course, the Sporting Journal Facebook page and the Haybale Heights Facebook page. Find them online at haybaleheights.com. All right, before the end of the show, we're going to switch gears and go over to another big famous walleye factory, Lake of the Woods. We'll talk to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism when we come back on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Haybale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Haybale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Haybale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, welcome back. This is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. You're listening to the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. 28 stations across the region, also online, sportingjournalradio.com. And you can get that show delivered right to your phone in the podcast app, if you have an iPhone, anyway. Or you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes as well. Going to talk to Joe Henry, going to talk more walleyes here and Lake of the Woods. And I saw a post from Greg Jones, I believe it was. He was up there for your Pay It Forward event, Joe. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, so Greg Jones is with Midwest Outdoors TV, and they're nice enough to film our veterans event this year, and they have for other years as well. And, you know, so I was on a boat with Greg and, of course, the cameraman. But then we had it was kind of cool. We had a father and son team, World War II in Vietnam. And the World War II veteran, Carl, 102 years old.
Wow.
Fishing on a boat. He's in a wheelchair, but he's doing well. And his son was taking care of him, who was a Vietnam vet in his own right. And with you know, obviously we have tremendous respect for him as well. And man, what a day of fishing. You know, we started out on Monday night. Everybody arrived. We had a real nice dinner over at Sportsman's Lodge, kind of a welcome dinner. We had a speaker talking about Patriot Assist dogs. And Brett, I'll tell you something, the neatest darn thing, you know, imagine this. Imagine you getting a dog at the age of 8 weeks old, you living with that dog, loving that dog, and training that dog to be an assist dog for a veteran. You're living, that dog is your dog for one whole year. And after a year, when that dog is trained, you gift that dog to a veteran who has PTSD or traumatic brain injury.
Hmm.
Can you imagine how much heart it takes to give that dog up to somebody in need after you've loved that dog? And so what they say is, we try to have a puppy on board before we give the dog away that we've been working with for a year. And the joy we see, the lives those assist dogs have saved are just tremendous. So that was our guest speaker on the first night. And we went fishing yesterday. And I got to tell you, on our boat, we got a lot of big fish. Everybody caught fish. You know, all the veterans did. We fished in the morning. Noon, we went over to Zippel Bay State Park. And the local Bedette VFW had a nice barbecue shore lunch ready for all the veterans. It was real nice. Went back out in the afternoon, and of course today we're out fishing again. And then tonight we'll have we bring all the veterans into Bedette to the Lake of the Woods County Fairgrounds for a community walleye fry. And it's really fun bringing the veterans in and mixing with the people from the local community. And we'll have a nice function tonight. Tomorrow we'll eat breakfast and go home. But you know, I'll tell you, I was telling you about the fishing on our boat, and so Carl, the World War II veteran, he's got kind of a tough left arm. It doesn't work real good. So when he was reeling in a fish, I would hold the rod, and he would just reel. And I'll tell you what, when he was pulling on that 27 and a quarter inch walleye, man, there was words coming out that don't fit my vocabulary. He was excited, let me tell you. big grin on his face. And
that's great.
We got that fish in the net. Now he couldn't believe it. I mean, that was a big walleye. And then it wasn't that much longer. And his son, Harlan, got a 28 inch walleye, of course, on our boat as well. And we had a bunch of them in the cooler for eating, you know, and just a wonderful day, wonderful people at our event. I mean, these veterans are, I'll tell you, man, we owe so much to them. And what great men and women we have around. It just, they've given so darn much. You know?
Yeah. How cool is that? Okay. We're talking to Joe Henry here, Lake of the Woods Tourism, about the Pay It Forward event that took place. We're recording this on Wednesday. So this took place earlier in the week. But how cool is that to be in the boat with a 102-year-old veteran and have him catch a trophy walleye like that?
Oh, man. And then have his son experience with him. His son got a trophy. He's grinning ear to ear. You know, we're going out and he's looking at the big pelicans and the seagulls, and we had a pretty good shot yesterday, you know, so we held his wheelchair in place and in a charter boat, there's plenty of room for one. And he was having fun. He was joking around and, you know, he'd catch a little one. He was joking about the fish being so small and, you know, what a gift. What an absolute gift. So let me tell you this, not only is 102 and a World War II veteran, but he has two Purple Hearts. And he's got a Bronze Star, and he was, you know, I'm forgetting the battle in Italy that he was involved in, the Mount Trasil, or I'm going to get mixed up, and the historians are going to nail me on. I can't remember the name, but it was one of those situations where one of the Purple Hearts he got, he was in a bunker and he stuck his head up. And a huge mortar hit about 75 yards away. It blew up a mule that was used for traversing up this steep hillside. Machines wouldn't do it. And he didn't know if he got hit, just a huge bang. And he felt the side of his head. And, of course, it was all wet. And you know what that was. And a lot of his comrades were fallen comrades in that battle that he experienced. And, you know, you hear these stories. And you wonder why they say that when some of our heroes, some of our veterans come back, that the battle still rages on. And you wonder why there's, I believe it's 22 veterans commit suicide each day. Right. You know, we're one of the things we're trying to do with our veterans event is to honor, celebrate, and recognize all veterans. And part of it is being with other veterans in this environment and healing and learning about Patriot Assist dogs, learning about what kind of resources out there for people that are struggling from the military. And yeah, it's just a neat experience. There's a lot of good veterans events around, and you know, I think ours is probably one of them.
Anytime I get to do one of those veterans events and I hear some of those stories, you know, not all of them are telling stories, but you usually do hear some stories throughout the event, and they always seem so surreal to me, Joe, because it seems like you're watching, you know, in a situation like that, it's like you're watching Saving Private Ryan. You know, it doesn't seem like it's real life necessarily for us.
It's exactly right. You know, how couldn't you look different? You know, it was explained neatly. One of our guest speakers last night, we have a guest speaker each night for dinners, and Corey is a flight nurse currently. In the military, he was a medic. And I just mentioned in the course of talking with him about this event prior to it, I just mentioned to him that, hey, listen, I'd be willing to bet for some of the traumatic things you see in what you do, you probably have to put a barrier up. And he just said back to me, he said, actually, that's when people get themselves in trouble, is when they put that barrier up and ultimately hold things inside.
Sure.
That's when things get rough. And, you know, really what we encourage people to do is find a healthy way to let those things out. So he spoke about that to our veterans. But once again, it's about learning how to process this stuff and healing. Somebody explained it to me, Brett. It's like this. It's like if you're walking on the beach, if three guys are walking on the beach and all of a sudden you have a big Bengal tiger come and attacks one of them, kills them. And, you know, you walk over a log, you step on a rock and a Bengal tiger hits you. Well, then 2 weeks later, you got two people and you're walking down the beach and you step over a log and step on a rock and a Bengal tiger takes out the second person. You got one person left. 2 weeks later, he gets married. He's walking with his wife on a beach that's not even remotely close to where that area is. It's in a different country. He's walking down the beach. He steps over a log and steps on a rock with his wife, and he freaks out.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, when it's a kind of an interesting visualization to help explain what some of these veterans are going through and what they've experienced and how they can come back. And although they're safe, their brain chemically has been rewired.
Oh.
And to no fault of their own.
Sure. You know, sights and sounds, I'm sure there's a fair number of triggers out there for them that that can put them right back into that situation in their minds. And nowadays, it seems like some places are getting to be war zones around this country, it seems like. So
it's true.
It's It is what it is. Joe Henry, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about the veterans event at Lake of the Woods Pay It Forward that they do annually. Well, it sounds like that was a great event this year, so congratulations on that. And, of course, the fishing was good during it, and fishing has been good on the lake, Joe, it sounds like.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, we, you know, Yeah. So not only do we catch a whole bunch of fish with our veterans, they're super happy. We also had the AIM Weekender Series fishing tournament last week. And, you know, I'll tell you something. These guys and gals go out. They're good anglers, but they can bring in five fish per day for a two-day tournament. So 10 fish total. The winning total for 10 fish on Lake of the Woods was over 91 pounds. That's over a 9.1-pound average for all 10 fish.
My God.
Imagine. So on top of that, wow. The top 10 teams for 10 fish had over 80-pound bags. That's at over an 8-pound average. So when, you know, I say that because when I say that the big fish have been going on Lake of the Woods, man, I'll tell you, the tournaments, the veterans, I mean, look on Facebook for people who've been fishing Lake of the Woods. The big fish are on a tear this year, and man, there's a lot of them out there. And you know, I should say too, you know, people are getting their eaters, so they're filling their coolers so they can bring a bunch of fish home, and it's life is good. We got a healthy fishery, and thank goodness for the natural resource we do have.
Could you give me like the GPS locations and the exact lures that all those guys, those tournament anglers, were using by any chance?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this. I spoke to some tournament anglers who are pulling real big cranks. I spoke to some who are pulling regular size cranks on lead core. I talked to some that are drifting harnesses. Yesterday, our boat was just drifting with a bottom bouncer and a spinner and a crawler. Others were pulling crankbaits. I mean, the deal is to find that school of fish is kind of moving around that basin. Once you find that school of fish, I've been told that at times it's 5 miles long.
Say that again, please.
Yeah. Walleye is for 5 straight miles.
My
God. Talk about a good trolling run, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Holy smoke. So any particular crank, style of crankbait or color or anything like that?
Yeah, you know, everybody's got a different favorite, but I did hear, you know, chrome and blue is kind of a go-to color on Lake of the Woods. A black has been a good one, and people might say, why black in that stained water? But, you know, black will create that that silhouette when those walleyes are looking up at the light. And that black has been a good color. Some people like the brighter, the purples, like a shiny purple. That's been a hot color. And you know, some people like the walleye divers. Some like shad wraps. Some have been pulling great big tail dancers, Rapala tail dancers. Some have been pulling, you know, great big Thunderstick Juniors and stuff. It's really a matter of getting it dialed in. How far should that crank be running above those fish so they feed up on it? How fast?
Yeah.
What color? There's different nuances that these anglers get it dialed in on.
All right, Joe. Well, if people want to come up there yet this summer, it sounds like they should, or maybe make a fall trip or winter trip. Where can they go to get more information?
Yep. You know, you can always check us out on Facebook, search Lake of the Woods Tourism. Otherwise, check out our website. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.